The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
It's the Dana Cortez Show with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. A lot of parents very concerned about sending our children back to school. So we have a physician on the line. Hey, are you there?
Hey, this is Dr. Bryant. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Bryant. Hey. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So I want to welcome you to the Dana Cortez Show with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. And for everybody listening, we have a double board certified surgeon on the line. You went to school at the University of Minnesota. You studied medical school at Eastern Virginia. You had your residency at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. The accolades go on and on, but I wanted to make certain that everybody knew you're legit.
He's a real doctor.
He's a real doctor.
Yeah.
I really wanted to talk to you because having spoken to you before about this as a parent, there's a lot of concerns I have. And I love that you just talk to us in a simple way. There seems to be a lot of politicizing of what's happening right now. And parents have a lot of concerns about our kids, especially going back to school. Now, my first question is, we keep hearing about a coronavirus vaccine and vaccine trials, but how realistic is it to think that we're going to have one by the end of this year?
I think one of the main things that I've kind of tried to talk about is any opinion or recommendation we have with this, we should kind of take with a pretty good dose of humility, because the reality is that we aren't quite sure what we're dealing with, and I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people are confused. It's because you see a lot of the recommendations change. But a couple things that we do know with vaccines is that the fastest we've ever had a vaccine for anything before was about 4 years. And the average time to get a vaccine is about 10 to 15 years. So there's still a reason to do it in case it kind of becomes like the flu, where maybe every season some coronavirus comes back at some level. But I think one of the bigger things we need to focus on, besides waiting for that kind of magic bullet, is coming up with good, healthy lifestyle modifications to protect the people that are most vulnerable.
What would some of those modifications be?
Some of them are things we should have been doing anyways, right? Like wash our hands good, don't cough on other people.
Cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze.
Yeah.
Those good manners that your mom taught you when you were a kid are the things you...
One of the other things that when you started, you said the recommendations have changed. I really love that you said that, because aren't you doctors and scientists, you're kind of learning as we go. This is something new. So it's not that anyone's trying to purposely mislead us. It's that we really are learning as we go.
Right. And where everyone's trying to do what the current evidence shows we think is the best thing. But that's kind of why I said it needs to be with a dose of humility, because obviously, we don't have a full lock on this yet, so, you know, things could still change again.
Okay. Now, you didn't mention wearing a mask. Do you recommend people to wear masks when they're out in public?
Oh, definitely. So most of the places now have kind of started to accept that from a social standpoint. And again, I think a big part of that is the masks aren't, and I think a lot of people have figured this out, but the masks aren't really to protect you, unless it's one of the special filtration masks. It's to protect the people around you. And so I think society is changing a little bit and kind of understanding that you not wearing a mask doesn't mean you're brave. It means you're being rude to the people around you if you're in an enclosed setting. And when you can change that perspective, I think people understand why it's important.
And for everybody saying they can't breathe, Mexican wrestlers have been wearing masks for decades. If they can do it and wrestle, right, you can do it too.
I mean, the side effect of the mask is that you look like a ninja, so that's brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
I mean,
right.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so How likely is it, Dr. Bryant, that kids contract COVID-19? And if their risk really is low, which is what I've been reading, then why do they need to maintain social distance? Why do kids need to wear masks, of course, if they're above age 3, and limit contact with friends if they're less likely to contract it?
Right. Yeah, so it's a really interesting kind of phenomenon, because with the flu and everything and most illnesses, you know, kids can still get it and sometimes are at higher risk of having, like, the bad parts of the illness. But there is good evidence that shows, especially younger kids, for whatever reason we don't know, are less likely to get it, and if they do get it, they're less likely to give it to other people. So the big fear was all the kids go to school, they all come back with COVID, and then give it to their parents, and everybody dies. That was like the short version, right? But
that's scary. When you say it like that, no, you're right. That's what everyone's right. thinking. Like, oh my gosh.
That's one of the reasons we're like, you know, we didn't really want to do mass inoculation and send all these kids home and get everyone sick. But there seems to be some receptors. They're called ACE receptors, but basically what the virus uses to infect people, kids don't have it or they don't have it as much. And we think maybe that's why they're less likely to get it and less likely to spread it, which would be great. Because you and I both know how important school is for kids, and we can't just keep them out of school forever. So,
well, that's my next question. Because as a parent, I'm sure you understand why so many families are really concerned with their children going back to school. Now, you're a physician. We gave all of your knowledge mm-hmm. at the beginning of this conversation, but I know that you're a dad first. And if your yeah. kids were old enough, because I know you have little ones right now. Would you be sending them back to school this fall?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question, and I think it comes back to the honest answer is I don't think anybody knows what the right decision is, and that's, you know, why I think one important thing is that if you talk to someone who has a different opinion than you on this, we should go back to that humility and just realize that we might be the ones in the wrong. We don't fully understand what's going on, and it's a very personal decision. And I do think it varies from place to place. So if you're somewhere where the hospitals are filling up and there's a big outbreak, you know, maybe we need to think twice and take a couple weeks off. But there's obviously a lot of downsides of not sending kids to school, right? Besides education, you have the social impact, the emotional impact. If kids can't go to school, how are parents going to get back to their jobs and go to work?
Honestly, I want to say something that I don't think a lot of people are mentioning. Sometimes when these are the only meals that kids get. I mean, this is just a reality. It's the only time they get two meals a day, breakfast and lunch. And when they're not going to school, they're not getting that.
Exactly. And those kids that aren't in stable families, a lot of times that school is the stability and kind of that rock and that consistency in their life. And if you take that away, some of those disparities and gaps are actually going to get bigger. And if you keep it that way for a year or two, some of those kids may never catch back up again. So
do you think that it's got to be a personal decision then for each family, especially if you have a child who's who's compromised? You know, you definitely don't want to send someone with type 1 diabetes back to school.
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, but you just have to make this decision for yourself and really factor in where you live. Is my city, is my state, are coronaviruses through the roof, or are we, you know, have we flattened the curve?
The other thing I was going to ask you about is, I mean, obviously we're all concerned about the kids, but also the teachers. I mean, do you think it's safe for a lot of these teachers to go back to school?
Right, and that's the other thing to remember is nobody's saying we should all go back to school exactly like it was before, right? So even if you do go back to school, desks are going to be farther apart, kids are going to wear masks, teachers are probably going to be behind some type of barrier, at least in an ideal world, and certainly farther away because of what you said. You know, teachers aren't kids, but hopefully the kids are less likely to spread it, so they may still be a little protected.
All right.
Dr. Brian, I got a very serious question. You've been throughout this conversation, you've been informing us and encouraging us to take everything with a dose of humility. Is a dose of humility the same as a grain of salt? I just been cutting back low sodium. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding. Okay, it is.
Right.
Okay.
It's the low sodium diet.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Brian. I was really okay. I appreciate everything.
Actually, I have one more serious question though. Have you seen the vaccine that they're saying is working with the antibodies?
Yeah.
What do you think? What was your feelings on that?
Well, the problem with even if it is the panacea or the golden ticket that we're looking for, the reality is once you get something that works, the next stage is you have to make sure it doesn't hurt people. So if they found something that works, the next stage still takes quite a long time because they have to give it to a bunch of people and make sure that it works and it doesn't hurt people. And then once you prove that, then you have to actually make enough of the vaccine for everybody to get. And So even if we did get lucky and find something that works, it's still a lot longer road than I think.
What's your guesstimate on like something like that? How long do you think it would take?
Well, none of the rules are really being followed right now with physical medicine, right?
They're putting the foot on the gas. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
The seat belt is off and the car's redline. And so, you know, if it happened in a year, that would be a medical miracle. But, you know, it goes back to, I'm not going to say it's not possible, but that's certainly, I think, helpful to understand. The fastest we've done it so far is 4 years, so it's unlikely that it'll show up in September.
So let's do the right thing. Let's wash our hands, maintain social distance, don't have all these big house parties, stop going to these pool parties, and try your best to just be courteous for the other person. Yep. Put that mask on when you're out in public. Dr. Bryant, thank you for taking the time. I know you're super busy, so we appreciate you. What's your Instagram so everybody can go follow you?
Yeah, Instagram is Lucas Bryant, MD.
So all right.
Thanks so much for having me, Dana.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bryant. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, man.
You guys stay safe.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
I've heard of kids swallowing coins. I've heard of kids shoving toys into their ears. But accidentally getting a dart stuck in your rear?
What?
This is brand new to me. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. It's your WTF story. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony.
A 9-year-old boy had a dart removed from his colon after he accidentally inserted it into his rear.
Ouch.
This is according to a hospital's social media post.
Ow.
First of all, he does that and then they put him on blast like that? What are you doing? A colonoscopy revealed the dart wrapped in a large chunk of in the young patient's colon was removed.
Ooh, over under, you think he's an only child? What do you think, Automatic? You think
he's bored, obviously.
Or he had his brother or sister help him.
I was thinking that's like an older brother, you know, making your young brother do some dumb things. Like, I'll never forget Super Bowl 45, me and my little brother playing football in the house. I told him to dive out for a pass. Lays out for it beautifully. I'm jumping up. He gets up. Whole right side of his face is just cut open.
No.
And he hit the corner of the coffee table. Yeah, we celebrated the halftime show from the ER room.
Oh. He got stitches?
He got stitches all over down his face. My mom was not happy about that.
Speaking of ER, I used to play baseball with this guy, and his mom was an ER doctor. And he said the amount of people that came into the ER with things stuck inside their rectum was very common.
Come on, man.
I ended up in the ER one time. We were at the zoo, and my cousin Shannon convinced me to climb into the seal habitat.
Oh.
So as I was climbing the fence, I had those little church dress shoes that are real slippery, slipped off, hit my face right into the cement with the rocks in it. You know, the cobblestone. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
There was so much blood all over my face. I kept asking them why they were throwing water on me.
Oh.
And now every time I hear I'm taken back to that moment.
So did they finally seal your forehead?
10 stitches, baby. That's your WTF story. Back with more of the Dana Cortez Show next.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Have you ever broken up with somebody and you really regretted it? Maybe you did something bad and you want them back? Well, maybe you can get them back. We've got four things that Drake's doing right now to reunite with Rihanna. I think they could work for you, too. Girl Talk here on the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
All of us have been in a relationship where maybe you wish it had worked out. Maybe you got dumped and later you got married and everything worked out. I mean, I'm just saying.
Just go ahead and say it. Okay, so Dana and I, in the beginning of our relationship, because we were working together, it was very stressful. And I decided I didn't want to be with Dana for career sake and for our personal health because we were both going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And I let her go. And then I had to fight to get her back.
Operation Get Your Girl Back.
Yes.
It's a serious one. All the homies know about it.
Well, Drake's doing it right now. And I think this could work for men and women. So the first thing he's doing is, let's be real. Drake is a changed man.
I'm upset.
He used to hide Adonis. Remember, we didn't know where Adonis was till Pusha T told the world. Now he's got photos with his son. Not only with his son, he's throwing up photos with the mother of his child, which means he respects women. You know, Sophie's up there with a family photo with Drake and baby Adonis. I promise you this, a man who loves his children is the most attractive man of all.
Question. So he's throwing up photos of a woman he cheated on Rihanna with. and the baby they had.
Yeah. That's hearsay. We don't know that he cheated
as a way to get his girl, as a way to get Rihanna back.
First of all, you keep saying that. The timeline doesn't add up. I don't think that Drake cheated on Rihanna with Sophie Brousseau.
The great Pusha T reminded us, you know, that he was hiding the kid for a while, and then Aubrey Graham had to step up and admit that there was a fraternity. Is it paternity?
Paternity,
yes, sir.
Involved, right? I think as a person without a kid, you're going to look at that and be like, damn, look how messy this person is.
I don't know. Mm. I'm just telling you right now, as a woman, we like men who take care of their children. Number two, he's giving her space, but he's still keeping in touch. Remember when he was flirting online with her? During the whole Versus thing, he gave her a song. I mean, she's on a song with Party Next Door. He's like, hey, girl, I got something for you. Come on by. And he even admitted, I think it was last year, in an interview with LeBron James, that he wishes he'd ended up with her.
I don't have the fairy tale like, oh, Drake started a family with Rihanna.
So he's giving her space, but he's letting her and the world know Rihanna's the one.
Did I give you space, Dana?
Yeah, you gave me space because I wouldn't pick up the phone.
I would go into the studio every day like we are right now, and I would just be staring at Dana. She wouldn't even look at me. She was like, she had no time for me. She would talk to me, but she wouldn't look at me.
I wanted you to work to get the ex back. Have you ever ended a relationship with somebody that you really cared about and you got them back? Share some advice on how you did it. 833-DANA-SHOW, and we'll reveal the final two things Drake is doing to get Rihanna back in his life. When we return, it's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Have you ever dumped somebody and then you realized, what am I doing? I love this person and you want them back. There's a way to get them back in your life, and we're talking about it now. Dana Cortez Show is on with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. This is Girl Talk, and the reason I even wanted to have this discussion is because you can see that Drake has been working on this for a very long time. First of all, he's a changed man. He's posting photos with his son Adonis, showing Rihanna that he respects the mother of his child. That's attractive to women. Women like a man who takes care of their seed. Number two, he's giving her space while still keeping in touch. Calderup said, look at this Party Next Door song I got. Told LeBron James, she's the one. She's the one I wanted to be with. And flirting with her online. Here we are to number three, though. Getting in good with her family. Now, I know Drake has had it for Rihanna for a very long time. Remember when he said this while presenting her with the Video Vanguard Music Award?
She's one of my best friends in the world. All my adult life, I've looked up to her, even though she's younger than me. She's someone I've been in love with since I was 22 years old.
He really loves her. So this is calculated. He's getting in with her family right now so that they can push her to get with him. If mama loves you, if brother loves you.
Well, that doesn't always work that way.
Doesn't always work. This is a very delicate line for those of us who aren't Aubrey Graham, okay? So if you're going to go out and hang out with her uncles and her theos at the cookout that they want to invite you to, just make sure you're in and out. Like, make sure you got to leave on a high. You can't be there too long.
And the only reason they're not mad at you for having a baby with somebody else is because you brought gifts.
Is that what it is?
I'm sure Drake brought all kinds of OVO stuff for the family.
Well, both of you kind of touched on this because, Anthony, you just said, you know, you got to be in and out. Number four, this is the final thing that you got to do if you want that ex back. You kind of got to act like you don't care. You document your fun with your boys, right? That's what Drake's doing right now. Oh, he's up in Barbados at the club having a great time.
He's with her brother.
Exactly. So he's acting like he's having a great time. No women on the timeline. No hotties on the timeline. Just you and her family, maybe, or friends, because you're waiting for her. Your life has moved on, but you're still giving her that subtle hint that there's room for you right here on my story, on my Instagram story, girl. Come on back.
I have a very good feeling that Rihanna's standing right next to them when they're taking the picture. She's just not in the picture.
You think he already got her back?
Why else would he be hanging out with her family in Barbados?
Oh, because she put him right back where he needs to be.
Where's that, Aunt?
The friend zone.
Oh, no!
I'm in the friend zone!
All right, so we're going to list the ways to get your ex back right now via the timeline. Instagram at Dana Cortez. Facebook, Dana Cortez Show. We'll be back with more less than five from now.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It's what guys think. And I know most men understand that when we women give birth to your child, we're giving up our entire bodies to bring that life into the world. So why would this woman's man not support her now that she wants plastic surgery after having his children? It's the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Okay, so she just gave birth to their second child. They have agreed they don't want any more kids. They have their little girl. They have their little boy. You know, they're a young couple. They want to raise their children in their nice neighborhood that they live in.
Them tubes tied?
He got cut.
Sick.
Snip, snip,
nice.
Snip.
Dude, my older brother did that.
My dad did that.
The best thing to do. Yeah, it's the best. You walk in, you walk out. We got to have surgery. We laid up in bed, all this stuff. Anyway,
one of my friends. Hold on, before we go
any
further.
Why are you going to talk about this?
Because
I'm trying to ask a question.
His ex-wife made him get snipped 3 times.
Shout out to her.
How you get snipped 3 times?
Because he got it done where he was taken care of, where he couldn't have any more kids. Then she decided that she wanted to bring it back, and so they brought it back, and then she decided that she was going to divorce
him.
And she made him get it snipped again.
That's a whole different topic.
That's enough of that Santa Fe love story.
I know. Dana Cortez. This woman has given birth to their children. She gave her body up, and she is very unhappy with the way she looks now. She wants a breast augmentation, which is a boob job, and a tummy tuck. We call this the mommy makeover. Things aren't where they used to be. And, you know, I gained a lot of weight, lost a lot of weight. I want my old body back. And he says, absolutely no way. You are not going under the knife.
Is this a financial thing? Because that costs a lot of money to get that done. They got the money for it.
All those questions. They got the money for it. They own their own home. She has a job. He has a job. It's just that he says, you're going to be a natural woman.
He's one of those guys.
Well, that's a thing, right? He wants his women natural. That's a thing.
There's nothing natural about women. Their hair is not natural. Their eyelashes aren't natural. Most of them don't have natural boobs anymore. So what is he talking about?
Well, for him, he wants his wife to be natural. I was going to say, if she puts makeup on her face, you know, that's not natural. Fake eyelashes, that's not natural. But he doesn't want her having this mommy makeover. Why would a man tell his significant other after she gave him the best gift in the world that she's forbidden from having plastic surgery? You guys answer the question. The phone lines are open. 833-DANA-SHOW. And I know it's what guys think, but I have some advice for her, too. So we'll continue this conversation.
This is what guys think, okay? Last week, we let you get away with your little bringing a woman on. And I'm not going to lie, I caught hell for that. So no more women on today. Don't try to call today, women. You will be hung up on.
And she gave him the best gift ever? Are you talking like Super Bowl tickets?
No, I'm talking about children.
Oh, God.
Your immortality. Guys, tell us why this man is such a Neanderthal. We'll be right back with my advice, too. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
All right, so today's discussion on what guys think is her boyfriend does not want her to have a boob job. No mommy makeover. It's the Dana Cortez Show with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. She's given up her body to give this man his children. They both decided they don't want any more kids. So she's like, oh, great. Now I'll get my boobs done, get my little tummy tuck, get my body right. And he's like, nope, never going to happen. They're fighting about this. They're arguing about it because he says, never, no way, I want you to be natural.
Plus, who's she trying to impress? Her kids are here. Her man's here. Who are these boobs for? Like, what she want to do?
That was the first thing I thought.
It's summertime again. Maybe she want to get back out. I don't know. Like, who are these things for?
I don't know.
It's for her.
If the man's happy, if your tribe is happy with the way you look, my queen, you should accept that for what it is.
This is what, okay. He's putting his happiness before hers. She wants to do this because obviously she feels badly about herself. She wants to put her best person forward. She wants to look her best, or at least with some help from a doctor. So let her do it. Just tell her you got to pay for it. And I mean, who's going to help her after she gets the surgery? If he's not down for it, she needs to have help
I'll
after
call
the surgery.
My mom. That's what I'll do. I'll call my mom or somebody. I'll hire a friend.
How long does it take for you to bounce back after you get your boobs?
I've had done it 3 times. How long was it automatic the last time? About 2 days?
Boob job? It was, Well, no, it was more than 2 days. It was probably, like, where you were actually, like, up on your feet.
I was back to work in 4 days.
It usually takes about a week.
And then they take a while to set, right, too? They're like, it's like a couple months before they become fun bags.
Well, if you do a bad one like I did the first time, they never set.
Oh.
But the last time when Automatic and I went in, it just, like I said, it was a lot faster, and I was very happy, and I feel good about myself. And that, at the end of the day, is what it's about. Interestingly enough, what you came out the gate with, Anthony, is why I think this man doesn't want her to do it. Because he's like, who are you trying to look good for? When a woman or man decides on elective surgery, it's not about anyone else, and it never should be. If you are in a mindset of doing something to please other people, don't do it. It has to be about yourself and what you want as a person and just that. The decision can't be to look good for someone else. It's got to be about yourself.
I thought it was good what guys think, but I mean, yeah, but it really does feel like he's worried she might leave him.
And that's there too. Well, that's also, there's no ring on it. There's a lot of other situations going on here too. They're not married. That's a boyfriend or baby mama, right?
Oh, they're not together. Married?
They're not married. Together, together. No, they're not married, dog.
Yeah, but they
no.
got a house and kids and everything.
Oh, that's 100%. He's worried that she's going to go leave him for somebody
else.
Maybe
he should put a ring on it and buy the mommy makeover for her too as a wedding gift.
What is she trying to do to this man? She already made him cut off his thing.
Right.
Now she's getting fake. She's going to leave him for a rich dude.
You don't cut your thing off when you get
she cut off his pipes.
Yeah,
no, it's not like that, Anthony A.
Oh, well.
You just don't get anyone pregnant when you get a vasectomy. It still works.
He doesn't want her to do it because he don't trust her, and I agree with him. So.
Then he's the one with the problem. So what I say is invite him to the consultation, set the date, make sure you have someone who really loves you to be there to take care of you, because any man who tries to control you isn't about, that's not
You know what
girl,
she needs
sorry.
To do? The first thing she needs to do is get him to put a ring on it. That's the first thing she needs to do. And then she can just boss him around for the rest of his life.
All right, it's One Guy's Thing. Let's talk about this on social media. She needs some help. Please give her advice. Facebook, Dana Cortez Show. Instagram, at Dana Cortez.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Kanye West, arguably one of the most famous people in the world, had a mental breakdown in front of the world on Sunday. Listen to this excerpt from his rally.
My dad wanted to abort me. My mom saved my life. There would have been no Kanye West because my dad was too busy.
So at that very moment, Kanye West just breaks down in tears. He can't even speak anymore. We're going to talk about mental health right now. It's the Dana Cortez Show with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. I have mentioned on this show many times that I grew up with a grandmother who's schizophrenic. Now, I mentioned it in passing. I never want to spend a lot of time on it because it was very difficult. After watching Kanye West, I had nightmares all night long. All of that trauma came back to me. I woke up about 10 times. And it's because if you've been around somebody who's mentally ill, you know that the way they communicate is off. People are angry at Kanye. Like, why is he talking like that?
A manic episode.
Well, you would never tell someone with cancer or the flu to just stop acting that way. Just get over it. You know, mental illness is exactly that. It's a sickness and it needs treatment.
Or do you think he might have just found out that he was an accident? Like, when he's like, my dad tried to abort me, I was like, Kanye, me too, fool. Like, what's the deal?
Every single person that I know, 90% are accidents.
Yeah,
my mom's
like, Anthony's my favorite surprise. That's what she tells me.
Exactly.
That's why I was trying to be like, this was the tip of the iceberg.
I haven't
seen the speech.
I think what happened here, because I watched the speech, is that he was trying to make a point that he was pro-life.
Okay.
And this was Kanye's way while having a manic episode of trying to say, hey, I'm pro-life.
No, he said he would keep abortion legal, but he would pay every woman $1 million if they had their child and $50,000 a year. The man is having an episode in front of everyone. This man legit has no one around him who cares about him. I promise you that right now.
Not even his wife.
No way do you allow someone in that condition to do what he did when you love them. I know this as my grandmother was institutionalized on several occasions. And I think it's a great time for us to talk about mental illness and mental health.
So my question is, though, how does Kim stop Kanye West?
He's Kanye West.
He's a billionaire.
Exactly. And you have him committed
says.
Like Britney Spears' father did.
Cool.
That's what you do.
Your wife stops you from going to the vending machine.
Yes.
A wife is. That's what you're supposed. That's what a significant other who signs up for that is supposed to do.
But we've been hearing all these rumors and we haven't talked about them very much because we're uncertain that they're not even living together anymore. It's obvious that they're not living together. They're just married.
It's not her fault, though, either.
No, it's not her fault. But you have to step in to help the person because they can't help themselves. And when it comes to mental illness, in brown and black communities, we're told, don't tell anybody what's happening in your house, and you got to carry that with you. When I was little, I used to ask myself, what am I doing wrong? Why is this happening? I thought it was my fault. It's not your fault. We actually had this discussion with rapper Snow the Product last month. I want to take an excerpt of that and play it for you when we come back. Plus, how can you get someone you love the help they need if they're mentally ill? We'll tell you when we return. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Kanye West held a presidential rally and had a mental breakdown in front of the world. This part was extremely disturbing. That was so difficult. He's screaming, "I almost killed my daughter." Screaming that over and over again. It's a Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez along with DJ Automatic and Anthony A. And we're talking about mental illness and mental health. Kanye's breakdown, I understand guilt. If you've had those thoughts, if you've ever been in a situation that you regret, is normal. The way he was expressing himself is not normal. He was laughing. He was crying. He was trying to convey messages. A lot of times they didn't make sense. His hair was purple because politically red and blue make purple. He had 20/20 shaved in his head. There was a lot going on. My biggest concern is that him saying that one day his daughter, she's going to hear that. People are going to tell her that. And he had no concern whatsoever about her feelings because he can't. His illness will not allow him to think like you and I do. People are mad. Like, why are you doing this? Why? You can't help what's happening in your head. Whatever's going on in his head is as real as the sky is blue to us. I mentioned this before and I've said it a few times. You know, my grandmother suffered from schizophrenia and I get nervous talking about it. I mentioned it in passing because it was very traumatic for me. It was traumatic for my family. I don't have one memory of being with my family, not one memory without something terrible, violent, or horrible happening at these family gatherings, all because of mental illness. And you're taught not to talk about it because sometimes it's seen as weakness. It's embarrassing when you go to school as a child and you know, okay, everybody's family's weird. Mine is above level weird. You know what I mean? And so I know people get upset when they hear Kanye West, but we all know somebody who faces the same kind of illness.
I don't think everybody recognizes it the way that you're putting out. I think some people, they don't even understand what mental health is. They just think, oh, that mother crazy.
When I was little, I didn't understand it either. You don't. You have to read. You have to research. You have to want to know so that maybe you can heal yourself to a certain extent. We talked to Snow the Product. She's a rapper that I've loved for many, many years. And she talks about why it's important to have these discussions.
I do think that it's a very important story to be told for kids that grew up with parents like that, because a lot of times, especially I think in Black and brown communities, but in everywhere, I think that it doesn't really have a color barrier. It really just happens everywhere, mostly in impoverished places where you don't have the money or the means to go to therapy or to take those days off, or for your, you know, that your parents got to continue working and you got to keep going to school and then you got to take care of yourself after school or take care of your little siblings. So you don't really get that therapy or like those conversations where they tell you it's not your fault.
You know what? Shout out to Snow, because what she said right there about it's not a Black, white, brown problem, it's a poor people's problem. I definitely agree with that, like, a lot. I think this is an issue that if you don't have the resources or the funds to address mental illness, for a lot of us, it goes unaddressed through our whole life.
It really does. And that's why I fight so hard for a public option when it comes to healthcare. Because if you're poor, you have nowhere to turn to. And that's why you see so many people on the streets. Nobody lives on the streets just because they want to. Something's going on and they need help. Now, if you have someone in your family who might be mentally ill, you can go to mentalhealth.gov and you can vote too. Because if you think healthcare needs to be a right and not just a privilege, make sure your candidate supports that as well. Check the full conversation with Snow the Product on our YouTube channel. Search Dana Cortez Show and watch it. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Dear Dana, my brother always disliked my husband, and now that we're divorcing, he's constantly making jokes. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
This is something that maybe I can't relate to too much because I'm an only child, but when I read it, I did feel very badly for her. She's like, my brother always disliked my husband, even before we were married. They never got along. Now that we're separated, he makes jokes, he laughs at me, and constantly says, I told you so, I told you not to marry him. How can he treat me this way, knowing it's a difficult situation? I don't know what to do.
Is the brother older or younger?
He's older.
Oh, well, that has a lot to do with it. I think he's also, like, it's his way of trying to, like, comfort her in a big brother manner. of being like, I told you so. Like, you should have listened to me when I tried telling you you shouldn't be doing this.
That's not helping
and,
right
no,
now.
No, I know. And it's bad brother humor. That's the way we, like, you don't have siblings, but that's the way siblings joke with each other. Mm. We were at dinner with me and my brother, and my mom was like, yo, y'all need to chill. And then we just went back on to, like, having a normal conversation.
Because you started kind
of. Yeah, so, like, your siblings can ruse you.
Picking at one another. Yes. Mom had to step in.
I hated my sister's ex-boyfriend. Like, literally hated him. And I never told him that told her that I hated him.
Why
and
didn't
even
you?
After they broke up, I don't ever talk about him. I just act like he never existed.
Your sister's older?
No, she's younger.
Huh?
But why were you able to treat your sister like that, allow her to make those decisions?
Because it's her life. I can't tell her what to do. I mean, I did let her know that he wasn't my favorite person, but I never said I disliked him. And when I saw him, I was always cordial. I wasn't like friendly. I just, hey, what's up, man? And but I thought he was a loser. And I'm glad she got to see that eventually, too.
Maybe that's why this brother keeps throwing it in his sister's face, because he's like,
but that's not the move, though.
But what if these are just good jokes and she's a sensitive Sally?
She is sensitive. She's getting a divorce.
Well,
when we come back, I will offer my advice to this young woman going through a very difficult time. Dear Dana continues next. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It's Dear Dana here on the Dana Cortez Show with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. So this message on Instagram says, my brother always disliked my husband. Even before we were married, they never got along. Now that we're separated, my brother makes jokes, laughs at me, says, I told you so constantly. How can he treat me this way, knowing this is a difficult situation? I may have to cut him off, is what she says, you know, and I get it.
Just you gotta breaking tell up with him, everybody.
Number one, you got to tell him exactly how you feel. You have to remind him, you're my brother. I need your support. It's a difficult time. He needs to be there for you, not ridicule you. I don't have siblings, but Automatic Anthony A, you both said siblings pick at each other. Otto, you wanted to pick at your sister, but you held back because you love her. Her last boyfriend, you didn't like him, but you never told her.
No, I never said anything. And there wasn't any reason for me to say anything. I let her figure it out on her own that he was a POS.
Okay, but we all used to talk badly about him behind her back. We did.
Well, and I don't know what to say to that.
So I think that my advice by her just asking him to be there for me, you're my brother, I love you, is the best way to go about it. You have to tell him how you feel, and you may need to cut him off. While you're healing, at least. It doesn't mean not talking to him, but maybe not being around him long enough for him to make fun of you and ridicule you. It is sensitive Sally time. Anthony, you called her sensitive Sally. Do you remember how difficult your breakup was?
Yeah, for
They're
sure.
They're married.
Well, I think she has to stand up for herself. And this guy kind of reminds me of what we would call in the comedy world, a heckler.
Yes, all right? he's a heckler.
My queen, I know you're a nice person. You're responsible. You're doing all you're prioritizing your life. But you need to run this motherfucker over, all right? And remind your brother that his love life ain't shit either. Run right through him, girl.
If you need a Dear Dana, hit us up on social media. Facebook, Dana Cortez Show. Instagram, at Dana Cortez. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
The MVD, bent over in a doctor's office, and the friend zone. Three places I don't want to be. Let's break that all down right now. All right, welcome to Two Dudes.
One Studio.
Yes, sir. The recap segment of the Dana Cortez Show. And we're going to break down our one confession earlier. Now, what I'm talking about is breaking out of the friend zone. All right. We had a girl call into the show and confess to us that she actually broke out of the friend zone. She hooked up with one of her friends. But you know what? Let's just let her explain it herself.
Last night, I had sex with my best friend.
Oh.
And it wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Oh, no. You had sex with your best friend last night, and it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Are you going to stay friends?
I don't know. We're still talking, but I haven't seen him since, so I don't know.
Do you want to stay friends?
I don't know.
Bad performance.
The
dim reality of hooking up with a friend. There's a lot of things people don't tell you when hook up with your friends. The point that the sex might be bad is one of them.
Yeah.
And Automatic, you were talking to Dana, and you didn't perform that well your first time at bat either.
No, thanks for reminding me. But she looked past it. She saw the future.
Do you think that the buildup of the friendship led to it.
2 years.
I'll be real, dude. Like, if I'm hooked up with a girl off of Tinder and I don't really know her, like, I don't even know her mom or her last name, there's not that much. I'm not invested to it.
No, you're going to put out a solid performance.
I'm out there hooping like a pickup game.
You know? Yeah,
exactly. I'm doing moves I never even
No pressure.
Because my heart's not in it.
Yeah.
All right.
When you, like, at that point, I think I was already in love with her. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about having sex with her for multiple years at that time. So when it finally did happen, it did not last long.
But... in general, though, I'm going to ask this question since your wife's not in here. Was that the first friend that you broke out of the friend zone with?
No. Oh, no, not at all. And they've either gone really, really good or gone really, really bad. Like one girl who I ended up being, I was good friends with her and we ended up having sex. And then we were together for probably, I don't know, almost 2-3 years.
Okay.
So that one was good. And we broke up and we're like, it took a while, but we're friends again.
Now, a lot of people do the whole like, oh, we've been friends for a while, but we'll hook up every 2 years. We've been friends for like 7 years, but we'll hook up every 2 or 3 years.
So I've never done that.
There
no.
was never none of that at
no.
all? I have this one girl that like, I don't even know where it's at now. Like, she'll get a boyfriend every couple years.
Oh,
and
wait, I lied to you.
Dude.
I did hook up with her before I had sex with her. You're right. So,
you know what? That's two lies automatically already told in a matter of 3 minutes. The question I want to end on, though. Now, again, you sent your wife's not listening. And remember, people, if you're listening to us, do not tell Dana what we talk about at this time, okay? Automatic. Would you rather sleep with a friend or hook up with an ex?
Oh, that's a tough one. you know what? I think I would rather sleep with an ex because there's just no pressure. She already knows what you like. You got to put in a solid performance.
I did not even think you were going to answer that. We got to wrap this up right now because I can already tell people are tweeting at Dana Cortez. Go get them. So listen, Dana,
why would you say that?
I don't know. I didn't think you were going to answer. My bad, dude. Just fell off the rails. Let us know what you think on thoughts of breaking out the friend zone.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.